know, God is with us on every level, isn't he? You know, and we're really blessed, and that family of faith as well as our own faith with God, and we do need each other. Iron sharpeneth iron, you know, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, so it says in Proverbs, you know. So we all need each other. We all go through different situations. Some of us can be up and some of us can be down and some of us can be in between. So it all takes, it just takes one hot fire, someone alight, someone on fire for God, that's looking to God, that is sold out to God in what they're doing and how they're living and how they're speaking, to inspire with the heavenly words being given to them to encourage other people. And so, you know, we want to live unto God, not unto ourselves or unto our circumstances or unto our problem or unto our lack or unto our illness or unto any other situation. You know, Jesus Christ come to restore and to build and to repair and to set people free, to connect people back to God. The connecting back to God wasn't so you can go back living in bondage, that you go back living your own life, the way you lived it before you got saved or born again or come to a knowledge of the truth. This is a new way. You know, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. We can't do nothing without God. And God wants us to live that righteous life where we're moving in power, we're moving in light, we're moving in authority, we're moving in strength. We're not moving by our carnal sense knowledge. We're not moving by our knowledge even of the scripture, but we're being led by the Spirit of God. And God is one that navigates us to scripture, to the things that he wants us to know that's infallible in front of us, like the written scriptures and stuff like that, or someone that's speaking by the Spirit. He wants us to hear the truth that sets us free. You know, Jesus Christ said, I am come, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And we got to be honest with ourselves. Number one, am I living an abundant life? What does the abundant life consist of? What is it? How does God view the abundant life? It's not just material wealth and possession and gain. Those things are included, but it comes from living that abundant life in the Spirit and in relationship with the Heavenly Father, right? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, prosper and be in health. And it's dependent upon your soul prospering. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospering. That your mind, your heart, and your emotions are all being made fruitful through the heavenly words that you're receiving gladly to the view of not only receiving those words, but living those words, applying those words, doing those words. Now, when we all got born again, we were all excited because we just received new life, and then we moved after the things of God. And then there were people that were supposed to represent God to give us the right things so that we could move and grow strong. And some people done that to a certain level. Other people didn't do that, or we may have got mistreated or misled or joined the wrong group. But, you know, God is there with us, and he knows a man and he knows a woman's heart. He knows exactly what's in your heart. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows how to meet all of your needs. And, you know, he wants you to be after him. See, if you go after God, he'll go after you. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all the things that you need will be added unto you. And it's so easy. I was reading through this scripture today. And if you think about if Jesus Christ was alive right now, he's alive right now, but I mean in front of us right now. If the Lord Jesus Christ that God raised from the dead started to walk amongst us, what would he say to us? And I look back to what he said to the disciples when he was with them in the flesh. And if you go to Luke, I'm going to read Luke 14:25, you can look it up later. And it says, and there went great multitudes with him, Jesus. And he turned, and he said unto them, oh, you are my great faithful followers, you are. I love you dearly. You've got such great hearts. You're after the things of God. I love you. And, oh, let's have some great fellowship together. Let's go for a Mackey D's, a McDonald's, or if you like KFC, we'll fry some KFC up together. You know, he didn't say any of that. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. My God, what a statement to make. What would you do if he appeared to you and said this to you? And whosoever does not bear his cross or his responsibility as a believer, as someone that's living for God and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Do you think Jesus was encouraging people to get God first completely in their life and living? For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? These happy after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it will begin to mock him, right? Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish, because the guy wasn't wise. The guy didn't sit down and count the cost. You know, and what are we doing in our lives? What are we building? Can we finish what we've started? Or can we let God finish what he started if we're allowing and we're being led by him? Or what king goeth to make war against another king? Sitteth down first, sitteth not down first, and counteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage or an ambassador, and desire conditions of peace. In other words, so they don't go into the war. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he have, he cannot be my disciple. Was Jesus Christ being hard-eared, legalistic? No, he was just showing the heart it's going to take to really live unto God, to really move in the power of God, to, you know, move in signs, miracles and wonders, and bring the deliverance of God to the people, into their own lives first. And then he says this on the last two verses of Luke 14, verse 34 and 35, and it says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? In other words, the salt is no good if it's lost its taste. It's worthless, right? It is neither fit for the land. It's no good for the land. It ain't going to do nothing for the land. Nor yet for the dunghill. But man cast it out because it's worthless. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. You know, God wants us to live unto him, so that he can maximise all the blessings that he's made available to us and that are ours in Christ. If we're half-hearted in what we're doing, you might as well not do it. You know, for me, I'm praying for a labourer. I pray for labourers. What is a labourer? Now, we work with people and we encourage people along the journey. But there's some people that get all excited at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they walk and they move and they're really excited for the things of God. But when the things do get hard, they do kind of go lukewarm. They go a little bit cold, right? They start doing their own thing. Oh, well, this is too hard. I can't do this. God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't provide for me when I needed the things. See, it takes a commitment to God to continue to move with him despite those things. And that comes from a pure heart. And it's good to always do a checkup from the neck up of where we are. And that's why I'm so blessed with what God taught me through my reconnection about these side things. You know, if we really want to see the word move in our own life as individuals, we need to, number one, ourselves speak in tongues much. And those that get born again, that connect to us, we encourage them to speak in tongues much. Then we show them, now you speak by the Spirit of God. You just open your mouth and God will fill it. Just like he's doing with me right now, with you. Just open your mouth and he will fill it. We determine, Lord, I will speak thy word. And sometimes thy word that God gives you to speak ain't going to agree with everyone's philosophy or ideas of God. But we want to speak the truth, because we know when we speak the truth in love, it gives direction and it sets people free, right? So there's some patterns to follow that will help us. Jesus Christ gave some things there in that record. You know, if you're not going to forsake mother, brother, father, sister, he's shown you the level of commitment, right, that he requires. It's pretty hard what he gave. It's pretty hard to the senses person what he said. But the ones with the heart will see it and go for it. You know, and these things that God was showing us about speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, honour God with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, like it says in the scriptures, you know. Sowing the seed, whatever you want to call it, seed time and harvest, honouring God, cheerful giving, abundantly sharing. You know, that we do that with all of our heart, from the heart unto our God. Yeah, it's going to someone, but we're doing it unto God. And we're sowing it where we're being fed and where we're being encouraged. And we're doing it with a heart, not just, we're not blasé doing it. You know, blasé doing it could be giving a lot of money or giving a little bit of money. It all depends where the heart is, right? You had the woman that didn't blasé do it when she gave her two mites. And then you had the rich man that gave loads and he blasé done that. But God was looking at the heart. God is interested in your heart. He's not interested in your knowledge and your bank account or anything else rather than your heart towards him and how can he work in your life and get you to where you need to be, where you can be so blessed and where you can be useful and meet for the master's use. In other words, you're ready to go. You're ready to speak. You're ready to share. You're ready to speak the truth without retribution. In other words, you will speak the truth regardless of what anyone says to you or about you. And that because you're interested in truth, you're interested in helping people connect to God, to have a relationship with the one true God. They're not having a relationship with us. They may connect to us, but we want them to walk with God. We want them right away to walk by the Spirit. And there's people out there waiting for us to be that kind of level of heart with God so that God can add them. You know, so that God can rise them up. And it's just really like this, that, I mean, this stewardship thing, you know, we're to steward the things of God. We're to steward our heart. We're to steward our mind. We're to steward our thoughts and our words. And we should take things very seriously. You know, like we can enjoy everything. I'm not saying not enjoy anything. It sounds a little bit, maybe I'm coming over religious, but I'm not. I'm just saying, what would the Lord Jesus Christ, if he was physically in front of us right now, say to us today? Would he change what he said? Now, we are in that age of grace, so it's by the grace of God. We can live and move and have our being because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, and his finished works finished it all. And it's up to us now. We want to walk in that. Now, we can walk in that light. We can walk in that heart, with that heart, that God is absolutely first. God is above everything else. This is the level God's looking for. And when I kind of look in India, I see that in the lives of the leaders and believers there. God is first. They've drawn their straws over there. They've come to the end of themselves. They've had nothing. But then they got everything because they got the Son. They got born again. They got filled with the Spirit of God. And they were humble and they turned to the one true God. And God healed them. He healed their land. He healed the people, their children, their old man, their young man, their old women, their daughters and the aunties and uncles. And now you see this great joy and rejoicing in India and in Nepal. And God wants it here. It was here once. But people get sidetracked with the things of this world, with the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all that type of stuff. And God's saying no. Like, if you want to move, you need to be serious. I need to be first. You need to be serious about me, not about the fellowship, not about Lawrence or anybody on it, but serious about God and what he actually wants you to do. And to seek him with all your heart on what is it you want me to do. And then bring what he's given you to the table here. And to share and to encourage and to apply it in your own life, to work with people he will bring in front of you. You know, to turn people from darkness to light. How many people have we turned from darkness to light? How many people have we spoken to these true words of God? How many people have we kept our mouth shut when we should have spoken? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm praying for laborers. A laborer is someone that is seeking God. Someone that wants to live unto God. Someone that's willing to change everything in their life and forsake their own ideas and religious ideas and go after what's being spoken with what's producing the fruit. It's the signs, miracles and wonders that will turn a person onto God, the love of God. the forgiveness of God, the kindness of God. But there is a standard. Now, there's a lot of people that just come and go on the fellowship, you know. I see the different levels of commitment. Now, each person know where they are and what they're doing in their life. Right? It's not for me to point out. My job is that when someone comes to me, is to speak the heavenly words to them and to give them direction.
Yeah.
And some people can't take it because it's just truth, you know. And it's very simple truth. It's very loving truth, you know. And it's like, okay, if you really want to see the things happen, pray for labourers. Now, obviously, God's working in people's hearts, like Fan shared with us. He didn't want to pray for labourers, but now he's praying for labourers because God worked it in his heart, right? And I can remember when Fan first connected with us, you know, for a year he didn't really speak or say anything. But the man's moving now. Like, that's just one example. There's lots of other examples. I just felt to say Fan. And just the joy in his life and the desire in his heart, you can see it growing and developing because he's pursuing God. See, outside of the fellowship, he's pursuing God to do it God's way. And God is revealing to him as he goes. And so no matter what comes against us or what's going on, we continue with God. Like, God is very pleased with everyone on it because your heart's for him. And you're going after him, right? But maybe we need to step up the plate a little bit more. Maybe reconsider how you are committed and where you are going. Who you are listening to. God didn't design you to listen to the Pope and then Billy Graham on the internet. And then somebody else. And then somebody else. And then connect where you are as well. Now, there's wonderful ministers everywhere, right? But God wants you connected with the doctrine where he's connected you. He wants you to receive those words gladly, that direction, and to move in that direction. And that's why I've always said, if you go to this fellowship, that fellowship, and over that, you're going to get confused. You're going to become warm. You're going to become melted down. But when you are focused, like if you think Microsoft, Bill Gates, and then you add Steve Jobs, Apple, right? Now, if Apple were focused half and half, his business wouldn't be so successful, Apple, with Steve Jobs. He's dead now, right? But they're sold out to where they're connected, to their work. They're doing the same thing, computers, Apple, Microsoft, totally different operating systems, but they do the same thing, right? And when they began, they were focused on their areas. They weren't going anywhere else. They were focusing on their brand and what they wanted to accomplish and achieve. Whether they'd done it stealthily or honestly or dishonestly, I don't know. But what I'm saying is you've got to have a focus. You've got to know what you want. When you know what you want, you won't be going to this fellowship, that fellowship, because you'll have your focus. Now, people that do that is because they've got no vision. In Proverbs it says, where there is no vision, the people wander aimlessly. They go to this doctrine, that ministry, that teaching, they mix it all up, and you become confused, you become warm. You become full of knowledge and no power. And God doesn't design it like that. He really didn't design it. I've been there. I've literally been there. When I first learned, you know, I went to the Way International, that's where I began, really. I got born again, Pentecostal churches, done all that. Then I took PFL class, literally changed my life around. Thank God for that wonderful class and foundational work there, which helped us get to where we are now. And then when it was connection with Sangha, I was still connecting to this one, that fellowship, and it didn't get me, it got me known. I got known by people. But I didn't go very far. I didn't go forward. God wants all of us to move forward individually and collectively together. God has your field ready for you. He's training you up on this fellowship right now. And you've got to kind of see it that way. Ask God to open up your heart about where you're connected and why he's got you connected there and what is it that he wants you to glean and to do. And it's really the encouragement that we've been given. And he wants to take it up the next level. You know, and he's going to get, and how we get to the next level where God wants us is through the heavenly words. This is why the words are changing. But the principles stay the same. The practices stay the same. Do you see what I'm saying? The speaking in tongues, the speaking by the Spirit, the honouring God, praying for labourers, staying connected. These are the things. And Jesus laid out a few things in what he said. You know, when he turned around and said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother and sisters, and his own life, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever does not bear his cross, responsibility, and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down first and counteth not the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? It's like you, Frank, you had your wonderful house, you knew you was able to finish it. And then you continued and you went ahead with the plan for it, right? And now you've got a beautiful home. It says, least happily after you have laid the foundation. Oh dear, I didn't think about that. Oh dear, I won't be able to finish it. And he's not able to finish it. All that beholder begin to mock him. That guy, he thought he was so smart he couldn't even finish it. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Like, God hasn't brought me this far, I'm not able to finish what he's called me to do. Even Jesus Christ had his finishing point and he done it. Because he stayed with God. And it's the same with us. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down first, sitteth not down first and consulteth? He's talking to others, whether he'd be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. You know, you've got to sit down, you've got to talk, you know, as God's leading all these things. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he's sending the bashes and desire the conditions of peace. In other words, he's figured it out. They got 20, we got 10, we're not able to take them, the position we're in is not very good. Let's send an ambassador that we can make conditions of peace and the ceasefire. That's what he's talking about here. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he have, he cannot be my disciples. What are you willing to give up? Because if you want to go up, you've got to give up some things. And it's usually the carnal things that we're giving up. It's not like you're giving up your family, your mother, your brother or your wife. But God says you have me first. If you really want to see me work in a more dynamic and powerful way, I need to be really first. And like when I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then he goes on to say, salt. That salt represents commitment. Salt is good. Commitment is good. But if the commitment has lost its commitment, whether shall it be committed? It's not going to be. It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But man cast it out. He that heareth is, let him have it, let him hear. We don't want to be lukewarm in what we're doing. We don't want to be non-committal. We don't want to be sound like just a repetition machine saying the same old thing. Our words should be with impact. Our words should inspire one another. You know, all scripture, as we know, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, how to believe rightly. Reproof when not believing rightly. Correction back to believing rightly. For instructions in righteousness that the men of God, women of God, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. God wants us to be strong in the grace that he's called us to, number one. But there are principles. There are things that govern this earth, like seed time and harvest, the law of gravity. These things, you know, govern the earth to keep everything in its order. And there is a godly order that we can move in. Like when you look at the setup and the structure within India and Nepal, and I know people probably don't like me bringing up Indra and Nepal all the time, but they are our examples. They're moving. There's a godly, God-led structure there, which people humbly take on and move with it. And when they stay within that, they start to prosper. They start to see their areas grow. They start to see signs, miracles and wonders. How long are we going to stay here and not even bring a new person onto this Zoom fellowship? How long are you going to go without having a labourer? Because it's very, I'm not putting pressure on anyone here, but I'm just saying the truth here. We should have one, like at least one. Like, God, give me one. You're the creator of the heaven and the earth. You do know where everyone is. You know where their labourers are. This is how we need to go after God. I really want that labour. If you really want the labourer, this is the heart that we do it with. Now you need to do something. You need to get moving, God, because I'm praying. I'm doing everything you want me to do. I need to see the baby. What's the point of me doing it if I'm not seeing it? What's the point of you doing what you're doing if you're not seeing the fruit? Because you're known by your fruit. And I tell you now, God has given us the great things, the great words. If we take them to heart and do it with all of our heart, we will see the fruit. And so this is what comes to my mind. So I didn't even know what was really in my heart to share, because there were so many things as of today with this stewardship thing. And but that was one record I kind of read today, and it really kind of leaped out to me, because really, we need to sit down and count the cost of what we're doing and where we are, how far you've come with not really seeing much happen. There must be something that needs to be changed. There must be something that we can go to God and say, okay, Father, I'm not seeing fruit like other people are. Show me what to do. And if not, then go to your minister where you're connected, and then receive the words gladly and go and do it, and then you'll get the fruit. Now, Sangate many a time had told me there was people that had come to him that weren't being fruitful, and then God just gave him words for them of what they should personally do. And when they received those words and they were humble enough to receive them and go and do them, then God made them very fruitful. Because it's in God's best interest for us to be fruitful. But God is not, he'll hold a standard with us as well. He's God of love, mercy, grace, but he'll hold a standard with us. Let's not take God for granted. He's a God of justice as well as a God of mercy and love and grace. And so what are we, we don't want to be lackadaisical in what we're doing, living for God. Yes, we might have jobs and we might have this, but is God first in that? Like Sakina was a good example, like with her job, she felt she needed to give it up. Now, God obviously worked in her heart to do that, because it was over a period of time she'd done that. And so we'll see the fruit. God will work in that if she's made that with God, which I believe she has, right? So everyone's situation is different, but what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? Are you going to stay the same? I don't believe God wants us to stay the same, not mentally or physically or materially or financially, with labourers, with our fields. I believe God wants us to have great increase on every level. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing that happen in Nepal and India, and it's dynamic. And it's not only there. It's going to Saudi Arabia and places like that, and Malta, and this is through the Nepali side of things. But it's happening amongst the Nepalis throughout the world. It's going all over the world. Now, it should be happening amongst the French. It should be happening amongst the Spanish. It should be happening amongst the Portuguese, amongst the English. And where there's contention and confusion, you stay away from that, because it will stop you. So you get with people that are serious. You get with the people that are not going to backbite, bitch, and put the knife in because someone's taken a stand to move with God. And they're saying, oh, who does he think he is? Or who does she think she is? You stick away from that and you keep it clean. Keep your environment clean with people that are speaking good heavenly words, that are practicing the way that we're practicing. And anyone that bows mouth, you just want to walk away from. It's not that you're being horrible to anyone, but a little leaveneth the whole lump. You see what I'm saying? So we've got to clean it out, like God cleans it out, actually. And so that we can be fresh in what we're doing. And God wants us fresh and on fire, not lackadaisical. This fellowship should be filled up with people. Really should be. But some people are sidetracked, or some people have got the jobs that they can't get out of. I understand all those things. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm like saying you got to, get on here and screw your job or anything. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, like, where you can be on here, be on here. What would Jesus say about it? Just looking at those gospel records there, he was pretty tough with it. And he wasn't tough, he was being honest and loving and showing the truth of how they can really move. And like he said to another lot of people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be my disciples. And everyone left him. And then he turned to his faithful ones and said, are you going to leave me as well? But at least they had the heart and sense to say, well, where would we go? You got the words of life. It's like for us. If we moved away from here, where would we go? We just go down to another broken down, watered fellowship that want you just to go to their fellowship to make up the numbers. I'm not about numbers. I'm on about labourers, me. I want labourers. I'm not on about the big numbers. Yet they will come. The multitudes can come, but it starts with the individuals. I want leaders. And this is the kind of heart that I'm sharing with you, my heart, like what I desire and what I want. These are the things that I personally pray to God. And I'm saying, Father, I want the leaders. I just don't want any lukewarm people. I don't have to be changing people's asses. I don't mind working with people, but now's the time I'm really serious. I really want, I've given everything. I've given my all according to what I understand. And I really want the top quality people, the ones that are going to move with you. And I'll get them, because my God is faithful. He knows my desire. He knows my heart. He knows my focus. And I will get it, because I'm not desiring my own thing. I'm not desiring to be wealthy and rich, even though I know it'd be nice to have that so we can do a lot of things. It's to see the word of God move all over the world. It's to see people come from darkness to light. It's to see people have joy and rejoicing. It's to see people walk in their deliverance and be reconciled to the Heavenly Father, knowing that when I get before the Bema, God will say, well done, you good and faithful servant. You spoke my word. You lived my word. You put me first. I seen your struggle, but I was with you. Just like I was with Moses and Abraham and King David and all the other wonderful people that walked with me. The people that made many mistakes but kept moving with me because their heart was after me. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for anyone perfect. You're perfect in Christ. He's already made you that perfect. So we don't have to try and be anything to be perfect. All we have to do is have the right heart and mind to move forward with God in power with the right desire. And like, Father, I really want to live for you. I really want to give everything to you, everything from my heart, above my wife, above my mother, above my brother, sisters and aunties, uncles, cousins and my best friends. Even if they all desert me, I want to live unto you. Even if I'm on my own, I want to live unto you. I want to do the right thing. And if I'm doing anything, show me. Show up in my life so I can get it right. And you take care of those things. Go before me. Make my paths clean. Make my path way. Make my path prosperous. Make me successful, God. I know I can't do nothing without you. Because none of us is smart enough to do anything without God. You know, you're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. No one that we know, and that even I'm connected to, is smart enough to outwit God and know what God wants to be done. But we're smart if we stay with God. We're smart if we receive the word with gladness. We're smart if we're humble and meek and continue steadfastly in the words that we're receiving and, you know, receive the words gladly and move in that. It's time now for fruit. It's time now to really desire and put your strongest desires before God. It's time to stop messing around in our own hearts and minds. I don't know who this is speaking to. It might not be speaking to anyone. Somebody might on the internet might come and have a listen. You know, I don't know. But God knows where this is going to go and where he's going to direct it and who he's working in their hearts. But he wants you blessed. He wants you to have maximum vision and goals. See, there's nothing in this world worth going after, guys. Just think about it. Really think about it. Whatever job you got, whatever social standing you got, whatever money you got, whatever background you got, whether it's good or bad or high or low, is nothing compared to what God wants us to do and what God has in store for those that love him and put him first, the rewards now and later. So, you know, let's get that kind of focus with God. And when I seen these records, I'm thinking, my gosh, Jesus really did, really just try to show that he spoke. And he spoke these things very clearly about the cost of, you know, being a labourer, being a disciple, you know, a disciplined one. We're sons and daughters of God. And then he went on, like in Luke 15, he talked about the lost sheep and the someone that lost a coin and the parable of the prodigal son, right? You know, this guy went off, but he was so precious that the father, you know, put on the best thing for his son when he come back, even though he wasted everything. That's God's love, level of love and commitment to us. You know, then he talks about the dishonest manager and the law and the kingdom of God and divorce and being remarried. And he talks about the rich man. And he went on through these records about different things to build our faith, to show us what is important and what isn't important. And when I see things in the level and manner that I've seen in India and Nepal, I get so excited. It's like living in those gospel times. It's like living in the book of Acts, like when you go to Punjab. I mean, it's like the book of Acts, you know, it's like going back to the old Bible times, you know, even as they sow their seed, they're walking in tandem, putting their hands in their satchels and spreading it out in the field in tandem. It's amazing to see. And so God is looking for us to go after him, to forsake the things in this world. Yeah, anything that you want, God will give it to you. Delight yourself in God and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. God says, me first. Me first. Priority. You know? Your job isn't the priority. Your wife isn't the priority. Your husband isn't the priority. Your children ain't the priority. God's the priority first. Then those things come in their order. And so when we have that and that kind of mind, then we can really lead and we can really be that example and we can really see God go to work, you know? And so anyway, things need to be put in order. And, you know, that's what we're to do. That's what Paul encouraged Titus, set in order the things that are wanting. Where? In the churches, in the fellowships, so that the people were blessed, the people were hot, they were getting the abundance, they were getting the needs met spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, materially, and that God's word was not being hindered by them. We got enough hindrances outside without us hindering it, right? So we don't want to hinder anything, do we? You know, we do that for our own selfishness, focusing on us. You know, God just says, look to me, say what I say, let your desire be my desire, and there's nothing that you'll have to ask me for. You'll have the fullness of joy, you'll have the blessings. Let's keep it right, let's keep it on. I don't know where all that come from, but it's there anyway, and I've spoken it forth, and I spoke it forth in faith and in love and with heart and desire. So you take to your heart, and whatever's touched your heart in whatever manner it's touched it, then move in that way. You'll receive the blessing of that. Because everything's about encouragement from God. And I think that was great encouragement. And it was pointing out a few things for us to consider and to be aware of and not to take things for granted. But our God is a wonderful God of love, a wonderful God of mercy, a wonderful God of grace. He's at work. He wants us to be spiritually aware. He wants us to be on the ball. He wants us to cast out devils. He wants us to heal the sick. He wants us to raise the dead. He wants us to cleanse the lepers. He wants us to bring restoration back to his people and to reconcile men and women back to God. That's the biggest desire we should be having, to see men and women come back from darkness to light, to receive a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent and turn around and change their life. Repent is just change direction. You know, this is the true gospel message, that, you know, the gospel message is the power of God unto wholeness. People should be being made whole through this gospel, not just through the words, but through our living it, through our acting upon it. So anyway, we all got to get there, and we ask God for that help. We're not doing it in our own strength, effort, or ability. We've got to kind of drop some of the excuses off that we use and really just get serious with God. And God will bless you as you make those decisions, because I know he'll do that, because he's done it for me when I've made up my mind. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to share.